Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, good evening. This is Ellie Steele. Lila won't be joining us tonight. She's in Washington, D.C., visiting her daughter. Actually, outside of Washington, D.C., somewhere out there. They recently moved. But she's going to see her. She's having a great time with her grandson. And, you know, and so on and so forth. But so she won't be joining us tonight, but we do have George Dixon with us. And tonight I believe we're going to discuss the Mayan calendar and aliens and the universal cycle that we're entering now. I think we're going to have a heck of a good time. So, George, we're going to put you right on here. And hang on 1 second. Hello, George.
How you doing, Leo?
Good, George.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep. How about you?
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I had some crackling on the line before. But, you know, I hope Leo's or Lila's having a good time down there. And,
yeah, I heard from her today, so she's actually this morning. And I got to call her after the show.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, she's doing very well. She, although, you know what happened? She took a spill today. And hurt her knee. Yeah, she was, yeah, I'll have her talk to you about it another time. But yeah, poor girl, she fell. And she was, they were walking, and I was on a sidewalk down there, and they were shopping or something, and she tripped over the sidewalk step or someone's curb in the sidewalk or something, and she wound up falling, I guess, and she hurt herself, she hurt her knee. But,
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I was sorry to hear that, too. I talked to her tonight, or late this afternoon, about 4:30, or about 5 or so. But she's doing fine now, so she's okay. So anyway, George.
Well, that's good, Leo.
By the way, Barbara. Linda, how's Linda feeling?
Oh, she's doing fine.
Is she doing all right? Yeah, that's
she's
good.
Doing fine, yeah. She has a little... worked on at the hospital yesterday. We spent the day there, it was an ambulatory thing in and out, but no, she's doing fine. But you know, it's funny. It's even myself. For some reason, the last month or so, and for the next month, you know, I've been concentrating on my body and my health and so forth. And I've seen different doctors. I normally see them anyways, you know, with my past, but. You know, it's just that time that, you know, the...
Hey, tell me something. Speaking of doctors, what do you think Billy would be saying right now? Bill.
Dr. Bill, I don't know.
Dr. Bill. Yeah, he had a remedy for everything. All he'd have to do is look on his computer and find the transit or something or other, you know, and he'd tell you what happened or what's going to happen.
Oh, but not... Not the stars aren't telling you what to do, but Bill was knowledgeable, I think, in some of the municipal natural element or treating products.
Yeah, I kind of miss not having him on, you know, but I couldn't get him on unless he came over to the house because he wouldn't get rid of that net zero, you know,
mm-hmm.
And it was a dial up.
Yes.
Remember?
Oh yes.
So in other words, he couldn't, and he only had one phone, so it either had to be on, you know, he couldn't do a two-way.
Have two things going on at the same time, like a conference call.
Yeah, you know, and what a pain in the ass, I could never get him on this show because he didn't have a phone. And I told him to try to get one, and it'd be, you know, I could have him on every Friday night, you know.
Well, Leo, let's go back and let's look at this. I mean, Bill's been gone, what, 5 years?
No, he died in 07, actually. Only 3 years. It seems
all
like
right,
five.
It seems like 5 years ago. But you look where we've gone since then, and you'd probably be talking about 5 years ago, some of the setups that he had. But, you know, look how we've advanced in the last 5-10 years, you know, even the communications. You know, it's...
I've got some of Bill's prediction videos that we did.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
in 2002, and again in 2000, I think in 2003, no, 2001 and 2002 or something like that. And he predicted the Iraq War. He predicted Saddam Hussein's death, right? A year before it happened, he predicted and when it would happen. And he was right on the money with those things. And he had he predicted the financial collapse in 2009,
mm-hmm.
right, which we just passed, and it was a financial collapse in 2009. And, you know, so in 2010, I remember him saying was going to be a very good year for us,
mm-hmm.
or for me, or whatever it was, and it's going to be very, very active, very busy.
Yes.
And but this was the year I put out my book, you know, which was good. Mm-hmm. He didn't mention that, but he did mention that there'd be something,
yeah.
Something good happening throughout that year, and onward. But you know, he never really talked much about the 2012 or 2011 or whatever. You know, he just kind of zipped through that period for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think he did talk about after the financial rise, and you said it was 2009.
Right.
So it was peak, and then it would be going down, and it would go way down. But I thought that he was gearing that on some of the aspects with Jupiter, even a Jupiter in the night sky. But I don't know.
Jupiter is big right now. I mean, it's very close to us,
yes.
in the sky, bright. Mm-hmm. So it's this is the time frame here now. I think he was talking about.
Right, but
yeah.
there may have been a major aspect to recently in the last couple of months that Jupiter took. I don't know. Like I said, I have been following the stars.
I
think Billy was talking about.
Very close last month. I don't know.
Yeah.
If it's probably still as close right now. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
It might be clear outside tonight. But last few nights we've been very bright in the western sky. You know.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I was very surprised. They're beautiful, bright, white. But
Bill was telling me years ago that there will be a time where Jupiter, or you know, even though the market starts to fall, but
right.
You'll have a one last stand, and then it's going to fall completely. And
really?
You know, because I was looking at the market earlier in this decade. But he says no at the you know, at the very end there, and so I'm looking at the market falling, you know, as we speak, and continuing out the rest of the year. I mean, things are happening. I'm looking for a bank holiday anytime, and you know, gold and silver, you know, the last today took a hell of a dive, and from a normal it's it's running.
How much? Did it go down today?
Well, I seen the last figures. I think it was over $1, but gold went down $17-$18. I'm not sure, but I just caught some of the last gold prices. But you know, it goes up and it goes down, and I think silver closed in the 26s, and it was up to the 28s, you know, earlier in the week.
George,
I don't know.
Yeah, are you? I met a guy the other day. He's telling me to buy gold. You got to buy gold, you know. And I said, well, you know, why are you buying gold? You know, how are you getting it? Are you getting it in bullion? Are you getting it in certificates or what? He says no. He says he's getting it in bullion. You know, he's getting it in by the ounces. You know.
Well, I've been following this stuff for years, and I've always said that gold and silver is a good thing to get into or to have, because it is something of value.
Oh, yeah.
And, but see, the problem there is people, you know, they hoard gold and silver, which is good, but understand that gold is nationalized. And some say silver's been analyzed or federalized recently, but... when I say nationalized, that means the government owns it and come grab it anytime they want to. You're allowed
That's
to possess about 30 ounces, but that's possession, you know.
Yeah.
The only problem there is that, you know, you can buy gold coins, and I don't know about the bullions if you, you know, if you actually have them, but they're all recorded. But with the problem with gold coins is that, you know, to barter with somebody or to, you know, barter with that, you know, you'd be losing a lot of money. Well, let's put it this way. You know, I hate to pay for a loaf of bread with a $20 gold piece, you know. And where silver comes in, you can use silver as a value of trade. And, you know, you, instead of large amounts, I mean, you have different denominations like a silver dime would buy a loaf of bread.
Now, let me ask this, though, for a minute. If you had to, let's say they came and took your gold, okay? Your currency was worth crap, all right? And you couldn't afford, you know, you couldn't afford anything anymore, you know?
Yes.
What would you resort to? What do you think would be selling? What do you think would be happening? Bartering? What kind of economy do you think we would have at that point? I would think it would have to have all become perhaps underground, you know, black market, underground kind of stuff.
Well, yes and no, Leo. Yes and no. You'd have to have something that to barter with.
Yeah.
And, I mean, let's say if you were a farmer, I mean, you could barter with, you know, so many bushels of wheat or whatever you have.
You know, let's say somebody had, like, somebody had made wallets, okay? And they made nice leather wallets, and he put them out there for everybody who could buy. Now, they could trade him a pig or a duck or a five duck or whatever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he could go home with a whole bunch of good stuff for having worked for the day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody got a really nice wallet. So these are things that are this barter system or this trade-off system. They'll always resort to some form of currency. But I'm just curious what it, I know they're trying to get the bank core, I believe it is in that the UN currency.
Mm-hmm.
They want to destroy all national currencies. And take over with one currency. So now I suppose that's what's going to happen. What's going to be worth anything? You know, it's like and that currency they're talking about is going to be cashless.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it's coinless and cashless. So I'm thinking that you're pretty much going to have an underworld economy that's going to be worth more than the overworld economy, you know, like it always is. And
people are going to resort to other means of getting what they need.
Absolutely. Even if they have to raise it or if they have to kill it or whatever they got to do to get it, they're going to do it.
Well, there's other things besides coins and dollar bills that we can use to get what we want.
Oh, no, I understand, but what I'm trying to say is there's going to be an entire underworld economy because there may not be currency that would be worth anything, but there'll be trade and balance somehow, you know what I mean?
But why do you call it underworld?
Because it's going to be untaxable, you know what I mean? It's going to be unseen.
So that's the underworld?
The underworld, the black market, you know, the second economy, the cashless economy.
you're right. Uh-huh.
Like we have
but
now.
We have
you know?
That now with the friggin' bankers. What are you talking about?
Of course we do. But
you're
going to
have it anywhere you go.
Yeah, I always try to deal with cash because, it's worth more today, and it's worth the same tomorrow. You're currency trading with your own money.
Yeah, but it's worth nothing, though.
Well, no, it is in a lot of ways. When you, for some reason, you'll see. I mean, you go by the gas price and find out what is the most significant sign of your the value of your dollar is the price of gas. You see it everywhere, and you see it going up. You know you got to spend more to get the same thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas if it goes down, you say, "Oh, geez, good. It was great." I'll tell you, the biggest relief in the wallet that I ever felt was when gasoline prices went from $3 and something cents a gallon down to $1.89 a gallon. All right, and mm-hmm. that lasted for about, I don't know, 6 months or so. But man, I mean, you know, every time you turn around. You know, if you start paying a dollar less a gallon for gas, you know, that's an extra $10 in your pocket every time you fill up. You know what I mean? Right? Yeah.
Well, yes so and you, no, but Celio,
saving $10, that's $10 in your pocket. You really feel that difference, you know?
But you don't have $10 in your pocket because it's not. It's only what people would give for that or what you can get out of that. But it changes.
Yeah, but everything goes up and down at the same time.
It yes.
It gives you $10 more, okay, to buy a pack of cigarettes or to buy your wife some flowers. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, but you're right, Leo. You're right. But if you got something of real value, it won't go up and down. It has a certain price to begin with, and you won't be losing nothing. Otherwise, you're dealing with something that's an illusion. Today it's this price, tomorrow it's that price, but it has nothing of value. You know, valuable than a dollar bill is a damn pill or a medical pill.
Is where you're getting off with the, or not where you're getting off, but where it ends. I mean, how do you balance out a currency without a currency? How do you get a trade going on between you and I or anybody, you know, without currency?
All right, Leo, I'll give you a vial of Lipitor medication. You give me a vial of some kind of antibiotics.
Yeah, but the thing is somebody's still making that stuff.
Sure.
Right? Somebody's distributing that stuff.
Yeah,
right?
But it's a value. It's nothing that's an illusion.
Somebody, like, you know, any kind of medicine will all be triggered, and everybody will have to be paying for it, and you'll have to make a minimum in order to get on the health care plan and blah, 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 blah. And before you know it, everybody's sewed up into socialized medicine. It'll mm-hmm. be all, I mean, they'll know everything that you're doing. So, you know, it'll be extremely difficult to operate a cash society without, you know, without being, having a better means of currency of some sort, you know?
Well, I think another way would be two aspirins and two rolls of toilet paper. How's that?
Well, no, you know, what I'm thinking is gold. You know, gold will still be. No one's going to give up their gold. I mean, unless everything is registered in the, you know. But that's what. I don't know, diamonds, gold, anything of value, art. You know.
Well, Leo, let's do this. We can get carried away here, but remember, a couple years ago on this show, we talked about the changing in the value system of the banking system.
That's
and,
right. Yeah.
You know, how it's gone from one thing to another.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, you sit here and you're juggling the few bucks you got, you know, and you're going, well, God damn, how am I going to, you know, and then you start to think, you know, it's, you know, go with the safest bet and you know, bet the rest. So I don't know. You know,
let's do this. Let's go back, and let's say before 1800s, what we used to do is that we used to barter for things, pay for things, with trinkets or gold or silver and diamonds and stuff like that, but it had some value. And then what happened, we thought it would be a lot easier if we came up with banks, a banking system, or people to handle, you know, the exchange of something of value. So the banks were established. Now, understand, this is the evolution of, let's say, the money system. And it's all part of communicating a thought or communicating between one another. And that's with value and so forth. But all right, let's stay with the banks right now. The banks were came into being, and our bankers did our business for them. But what they did is that they developed another way of taking that value and being able to transport it or move it easily. And that's where we came up with the dollars or with the bills or with the checks or paper, establishing that this paper is a note, which means that it's backed by such and such, and it's held at such and such a bank, and anybody with this can go retrieve the value that this stands for. All right, so we came from that into a system now where it's all electronic, where the paper is not needed. It's all in a computer. It's in a ledger. So what we've done is we've taken one thing that had value, gold and silver, and what we've done is we've made a nothing out of it, and it has the power of money. It has the power of something of value, but it's illusion. And that's part of the illusion that that's vanishing right now in a new system, because the ethics of it is coming out where, you know, nothing is nothing is nothing. But now the fact is, we know that it's nothing, and we can do something else about it. But we are in that state right now, in that time. In the next year or so, we'll see a lot of the way we exchange value for value change. And I think that's being expressed right now in the world economy and the movements on the market.
Excuse me. I go back to Zell Lungo's description of this time frame and what he said would happen, that everything would start to fall apart, you know, the financial systems, government, you know, everything would start to fall apart because it's the end of the cycle, it's the end of the period, all right, and so it's going fading into time, and now you're coming along with these new changes. So I'm sitting there, and I'm going, and I figured out that Lungo was right on. He said, what will become of value is what you admire, all right?
Uh-huh.
What someone admires will be value. So you won't need currency. You'll merely need a mutual admiration society, basically, that's how you say, okay, well, it's like you were saying, George, here's a block of gold for a block of cheese. But, you know, but I think it's going to be more than that, because I think it's going to become an invisible admiration, you know, where people will acknowledge each and every favor and everyone will be running a tab, you know what I mean, on each other.
Running a tab?
Yeah. You know, be running a tab on each other, a tab of kindness, you know, a tab of favor. It's like, you know, it's like you and I got a long tabs, like long bar tabs, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're sitting around for an hour, you know, having a couple cups of coffee and taking up everybody's time. You know, what do you, it's a bar tab, okay? So you're taking up time, and you know, I think I kind of forgot where I was going with that. I like the idea. Hey, what do you think if we put up a Facebook place called Leo's Place? You know what I mean? I was thinking of doing that. You know, I always thought of having like a restaurant kind of place, or just a casual place where you could go, right, and have tune in and see all kinds of fun people and stuff and listen to music and, you know, just as a congregating place, a Leo's Place.
There you go.
Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah.
Well, yes and no, Leo. You know, it depends on how you look at it. Some people are concerned about being able to keep their privacy, where other people are not. And, you know,
The more people that come to our shows and listen to our shows, the more avenues we have to get our show out there, the better off we are. So we want everybody to join us, you know what I mean, who is interested in what we have to say. Don't we, George?
Well, yeah, you're right.
We invite all callers and anybody who has something to ask us or join the conversation. We always do. And I think that, I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, Leo, earlier you were talking to me about some of the things that you've been covering lately with the other shows, and how everything is being exposed. But the Roddy stuff that's been going on for years. And
last night's show was very. I really enjoyed talking to John last night because I had read his book and it was a very disturbing book.
Well, maybe explain something about the book and what this author was putting across.
Yeah, and that was what I wanted to get across. And, to devote an hour to him, to discuss his book, I thought, was enough time for somebody to get acquainted with him and with the book. And, just like we did with the comic book, remember?
Mm-hmm.
But the comic, the Book of Comets there, what was it, Comets of the God? I forget the name of it. Comets of the God.
The Comets of God.
Comets
the
of
Comets
God.
Of God.
Yeah, it was
Jeffrey Goodman.
Yeah, it was a very, very good book.
Mm-hmm.
And excellent time talking with him. And I'm glad we did the double show,
Mm-hmm.
So, that's why that was fun. That was fun. It was kind of fun to be able to do that with somebody.
I'm looking anxiously to talk with Jeffrey again, and probably after the beginning of the year that we will have him on again. But he is very good, and he's a fascinating fellow.
Yeah,
fascinating work.
Yeah, his book's not coming out till
next year.
Till
next spring, I think. Mm-hmm.
April, yeah, next April.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to hook him up with that. Other guy I had on, the Time Template of Time. Remember Tom Paine?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
You listened to that, remember?
Well, Leo, explain again the show that you did last night.
Yeah, it was about the American Nazi secrets. That's a book put out by Trinday.
Mm-hmm.
And. And the author's name is John Loftus, Loftus, and we had a one-hour interview based on his book, and a phenomenal book. The Nazi. It's about how the Justice Department and the CIA. Back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and 70s, and 80s, and 90s, up to the current day, have created these terrorist cells, but they brought in the Nazis. They brought in over 15,000 Nazi criminals, war criminals, were exempted from Nuremberg, the Nuremberg trials, and ushered over here, given false documents and everything. And were trained as spies to go back over and spy on the Soviet Union.
Mm.
So it was really fascinating to discover the complicity, the corruption, and the ignorance and stupidity of some of these people to do what they did and get away with it. And this is all fact. This is all stuff that was declassified.
Yes.
And John was able to. John had been investigating it for 20, 25 years. So this subject. So
I'm
sorry.
It's amazing with the German people, the Germans, how they've intertwined in our society. And yet, the power that the Nazis had in World War II, even before then, or Hitler, I should say, it's amazing. And yet, so many stories and even some of the technology are connecting right with the Nazis then and now. I mean, there are stories about the Germans having a secret base there in Antarctica. And I think Nexus has done a series of articles on that. I was going through I think some of the UFO information lately and some of the information, UFO videos that's available on the internet, and so many of them, you know, connect with the Germans, or the Germans are connected with it,
yeah.
Including
hey, you know,
some...
I've noticed something really interesting in the last, I'd say probably the last 2 months, on the as far as the mainstream media.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of people coming out now that there's a strong push against conspiracy theorists,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yes.
And all of these people are coming out, these CIA guys and everything. They're old guys, and you know, they're like they're all writing books, and they're all come out and said, "Oh, we didn't have anything to do with the JFK." You know, the other
right.
they're pushing two old guys. They're probably in their 80s now,
yeah.
But they were bodyguards for. Jacqueline Kennedy and John Kennedy, right? Personal
right.
bodyguard. And they said that it was Lee Harvey Oswald who did it. You know, they
yeah.
were there. And that was so full of shit, it was unbelievable.
Now, wait a minute, Leo. Don't say that. The reason why is that, you know, the truth of the matter, it may have not have happened the way they seen it, but to them, it did happen that way. And with quantum consciousness, you know, you have all these different strings of consciousness that are manifesting. They're all manifesting differently. So, you know, you could have something happen in front of you, and yet your neighbor wouldn't see anything at all. It's what you view.
That's true, isn't it? That's very true, George. You're right.
And
absolutely.
You know, even in your own mind, you know, you create that illusion, and you hold that illusion, and you know, it's how you hold it together or what you add to it. But I just want to say right now that this illusion dealing with the Germans for me is real because so much of the connections even take me back. You know, to a lot of the work that I did earlier with the Montauk Project, you know, in researching that, and how, you know, that was that tailed off from projects that were going on in Germany, and
right.
with my esoteric studies with Aleister Crowley dealing with time. And, you know, it all comes back to a German question. And I find it interesting. It's not that I take sides with this. That I do find that it's interwoven within the legend or the picture here. And I'm not putting names or anything on it, but I'm just saying that so much of our history that's being played out right now, you know, has to do with the Germans. And, you know, let's get back, continue on with what we were saying about the Bible code, that we are reliving a reality that we experienced. And what we are experiencing now is a rehashing of that reality that we experienced years ago, and that time period went up to the 28th century. So we're reliving the past, but we have the options in this experience or this illusion to alter a course. And it all has to do with the perspective, the religious perspective, and you know, you connect the Germans with the Holocaust, with the German people. And, you know, I don't know if this is part of the remnants of the destiny that we are experiencing, you know, in this, let's say, evolutionary period.
Maybe, but, you know, the thing is, see, is the description of the book, in the book, it's actually horrific. Some of the scenes that he depicts in the book and what and how they're described so graphically by the archaeologists and whatnot who dug these things up and or witnesses who were exposed to these mass killings, you know, where they would
yeah.
line people and just start and just kill them all, you know, just machine gun all of them. And they would fall into the ditch, and then the ditch would be thrown over. You know, it was extremely brutal. And when you see that and see the criminality and the monstrousness of the horror of these people of what they did, and then you know allow them to come, you know, under allow them to assume false identities and passports and come over here, okay, under the veil of the CIA protection, witness protection, all right, and that kind of thing, that's all kinds of horseshit. These guys escaped the Nuremberg trials, you know, because of what the CIA did for them, all right, just to get them over here to become spies for our country. And it turned out to be a total and absolute failure because they were double spies, you know. They worked for both sides, you know, so it was really quite a book, and I recommend it to anybody. It's called The Nazi America's Nazi Secrets. But anyway, sorry I went on there, George.
Yeah, but you know, hopefully we are bringing to an end that era, that power, or whatever power there is, including.
We're going that way with a big bang, George, because, you know, I mean, you see all the people dying? My God, you see the Haiti thing and, the everywhere around the world. I mean, it's just tremendous, the images we're seeing of starvation and so on, especially in Haiti. For some reason, we're not getting a clear at all picture of what's going on down there. You know what I mean? And that's only 100 miles off our coast. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I want to say?
What
Haiti? What are you talking about?
I don't understand.
Well, Leo, how many people know about the hurricane, let alone the damage that was that's been done to Haiti, along with the poverty?
Oh, I know what you're saying. I mean, this has to be brought up, and it's not. It's almost like there's
that's what I mean.
Over it, you know, like, my God.
That's what I mean. Who knows about it? I mean, first of all, you didn't get that over the regular local news. They won't tell you that stuff. And even on the national news, you may have, 20, 30 seconds of this, you know, and move on to something else.
You got a couple of wet-looking kids in Haiti, okay, looking like they're having fun, all right? Or else they're terrified, and then the picture goes away. Mm-hmm. It's very, very difficult to be able to understand what's happening around the world in our name, you know.
Well, instead of asking that question, you know, I just get on the internet and find out for myself instead of pointing a finger at this one or that one. But it's sometimes a real trip just to find the information.
So much of that information is classified, and.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all held secret by all these governments, and they, you know, they don't release them. So it's like you'll never really know the whole truth. It's like all truth is half truth, you know.
Right.
You've heard that, that's one of the cosmic laws.
Yeah.
All truth is half truth.
Well.
Have you ever heard that?
Yes. Yes. But it's also using it on a propaganda from a propaganda podium.
As above, so below.
Yeah, well, look at Facebook.
Yeah.
That's one prime example there, where everything is exposed.
Well,
everything
you. Yeah, everything you want to expose. I mean, not everything, but everything you want to have exposed.
Well, it's also controlling. We're controlling what can be said, what can't be said.
I understand that, but at the same time, you have to understand too that you have to. To me, on something like that where it's a public access kind of thing, you know, everybody's welcome to come to my page, right?
Right.
And I'll try to give you something to come to the page for. Like I'll put up new videos or something. You know, I'll put. Did you see all the George Bush videos I sent?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm, yeah, I watched a few of them. They're funny.
Yeah, they're kind of funny, aren't they?
Yeah.
Anyway, I have a lot of fun with Facebook, but you're right. There's only so much that. Everybody goes crazy on that. A lot of people say things they regret saying. You know.
And also on Blog Talk on these radios or blogs. On these blogs, in fact, there was something on the news, on one of these talk shows about the internet, how on some of these blogs that you can destroy your neighbor, or destroy somebody you don't know, and there's no controls or there's not too many legal controls, I should say, that block a person from.
I've never attacked a show or a host or I've never attacked anybody that I know. That has a program. I've attacked policies. I've attacked issues. I've attacked politicians. I've attacked celebrities and so on and so forth. But I've never attacked anybody's program. You know what I mean? Except Glenn Beck.
Okay. Well, how about on the show?
What do you mean?
Well, you go to some of these chat lines, Leo. And
yeah.
you may type in something, but you're not gonna they're not gonna let it be posted. They'll take it off.
Well, that's true. But I don't even mess with my chat room anymore because I it's too distracting. You know what I mean?
All right. Instead of getting personal, let's take this back to just the essence of Facebook and control and manipulation and what you're saying before. By controlling you. You can control the masses, and it's very easy to do, and it's more like a psyops. Well,
but the thing is that I would find myself getting too involved. It's like I have a very difficult time, as you know, when I have a hard time multitasking. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like I can't fucking chew gum at the same time, right? Now that kind of thing. All of us geniuses, like Jerry Ford, had that. I'm very bad at multitasking. So I find myself having to concentrate on one thing and then concentrate on another thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to being talented, so I can concentrate on several things at the same time. The point I'm getting at, I guess, is I lost my point. What I forgot what I was saying there, George. Sorry. Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah.
Thanks. I kind of lost where I was going there. I had a thread, but lost it.
Well, Leo, I was trying to talk about some of the controls that we think we have, but it's manipulating our thoughts and manipulating. The illusion, but let's get back to the Mayans and the understanding of what's going on right now, and is we're dealing with truth, ethics, and integrity.
I was thinking about this today, because I wanted to mention it to you. the Melchizedek topic about or his. What was it? 144, I think, octaves or something.
Yes. Uh-huh.
That caught me because I was trying to imagine how to relate both of those concepts to both the Mayan concept and that concept. Okay. Into one, so I could follow the follow a pattern, because I've kind of lost the mathematical aspect of ascension over the spiritual, just the rising of mm-hmm. And once we understand, I think, what the mind. Influence what their exact astrological predictions stated. Okay, we're now coming up to that point. We're
mm-hmm.
coming there,
yeah.
And we're seeing ourselves. But it's almost as though the intellectual and emotional cells will soon merge. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. But
the emotional and intellectual side. Will stop being, will not be separate. Instead, they'll be merging, so that we as human beings are no longer split between emotion and intellect. We operate as one. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm thinking. We're almost there, George. I think we're almost there.
Yeah, but that's not
2012. You know, 2000 or February 10th, I believe 2011. I'm really looking forward to that date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then again, what's the next date? It will be October 28th
mm-hmm.
of next year.
That's the ending of the seventh day.
That's the ending of the seventh day, right?
Right.
And then we go right into 2012, you know.
In the first day, but let's back up here for a minute. When you're talking about the confusion between 144,
right,
and what the Mayans are talking about, their evolutionary scale, is I think dealing with life on a three-dimensional reality, with physical
right.
matter and so forth, and with 144 dimensions or overtones. Actually, you have 12 dimensions, and each dimension has 12 overtones. So
right.
you're talking about 144 overtones, but that's experienced by the soul on multi-levels. Like, this is only one level in the third-dimensional level, this reality, including this evolution that goes back 14.4 billion years with the Mayans. But the ending of this is ending of the physical reality or experience. And some people will call it, let's say, the Lucifer Rebellion. We have experienced the Lucifer Rebellion, the Lucifer manifestation of actually manifesting a physical illusion out of physical matter. And the physical matter is not real. It's the illusion it's holding the illusion together that makes it real. But that's just an experience on a certain level, an emotional level, or one level dealing with the three-dimensional reality, a solid reality. And the only property there is that we have, it's a dualship, a dual relationship we have with this venue.
I kind of lost you there a little bit because I was just kind of thinking of how to merge those two. Where I know you were trying to explain it to me, but I'm having a difficulty finding the grade. You know, the gradation of that movement of moving that Mayan concrete science into as the other hemisphere merges with the intellect, you know, and then creates the one.
Yes, but one in.
Like a wave, I guess you just gotta wait for the emotional area to do that, you know. But that's happening in a fast pace. It's kind of like, it's almost like a tsunami, you know,
mm-hmm.
where science is catching up with imagination, you know.
Well, the truth of reality is catching up with the ethics that we live by, and if you take a look at the ethics, you see the integrity of our species as
a
whole, but also individually. So
yeah.
this is what we're experiencing right now, or we have experienced, the truth, ethics, and the integrity of our life. And what we're going through right now is that this is what we're birthing. This is what we're changing to. Whatever our feelings and our joys, we are going to a time of bliss where we'll manifest whatever we allude to. And it's your thinking. It's the illusion that you personally are...
I'm sorry, have you found yourself getting sentimental lately?
Without a doubt, yeah.
You have, yeah?
Without a doubt.
I'm beginning to mourn the loss of a newspaper. But at the same time, I have this memory of them that will never, probably never leave me. You know, always reading the newspaper, you know what I mean?
Right.
For years. I used to get newspapers at the house all the time. Because those were
the
years before the computer, you know?
The truth of the matter is that you've replaced how you get your news. The reason why you go to that newspaper is to get
mail.
News.
I heard tonight the post office lost $8 billion this year.
Yeah.
All right? $8 billion. Okay, because people are doing emails instead of letters, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
They're doing, the majority of people's jobs, I mean, or not jobs, but the majority of their communications is either by telephone or by email, you know?
Or you pay by credit card. No money.
Pay by credit card, yeah. So it's like it's a whole new world there. The old world is, the old world, the nostalgic world, is crumbling, and I think that's why you're seeing this rise in the Tea Party, you know, the rise in patriotism, the rise in nationalism, the rise in trying to bring the country back to 200 years ago, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When we were still fighting Indians and people were still slaves, you know.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't take it back. You even wouldn't want to take it back to way back then.
I mean, women just got the right to vote, 80 years ago or something?
Yeah,
you know?
Well.
Like, try it out loud. You know, you can't go back. And, you know, and I look at that, and yes, we treasure the things that we have, but, you know, after two divorces and a house fire and all kinds of, and, you know, 40 years of collecting, you know, you have a lot of baggage. You know what I'm saying? And you've lost a lot of baggage too along the way. So you know, you what you cherish, you hold closest to you. And I don't know. You've seen my study, right?
Yeah.
Hey, I've got like 500 television videos here that I've converted. Am converting to digital. I've got, I don't know, maybe 500 books in here, all different titles and crazy
things. And I was going to say, Leo, sometimes you have to put away childish things.
And you know what? I'll bet you 30 or 35 of those books are yours, George.
So that's where they went.
Yeah. I got two boxes right next to me full of your stuff, full of your books I haven't even dared to bring out yet, you know? Because I'm still digesting all of these other books. I love to read, and I love, it's one of my favorite things in the world, is reading. And
I'm reviewing five books now.
What's that?
I'm reviewing five books now.
Oh, I don't know how you do that. I can't do that. I have to do one at a time, or maybe I can review two in a week, but I can't review five at one time. It wouldn't make any sense to me. You know, I would go nuts.
Well, for me, it gives me time to digest the material.
Yeah.
Because it's regular routines. You know, I'll read from this book, let's say, before I go to bed, and that's one book I'm reading. Then I'm reading another book in the morning, and then I have one during.
I'm curious when you choose a book that you want to read. What do you look for when you pick up your book?
All right. Let me explain. Is Greg Braden, The Fractal Time, and they talk about different timelines. And how you can actually see how these timelines are all calibrated or synchronized with one another. The Mayans and the I Ching, along with,
All of them are.
Well, yeah, they're all cycles, Leo. And it's, you know, trying to get an understanding of how this cycle is put together this way. and see what similarities it has with, you know, with Greg Braden's cycles and so forth that goes back, you know, thousands of years. A lot of that correlates with some of the cycles that the chart of novelty with Terence McKenna, and following novelty with him, where you can actually follow cultures and the rise and falls of cultures, and they all follow basically a fine line along with the Mayans, along with a few other of the cycles.
Right. No, I see. I believe that something dramatic is going to happen in 2012. There's no question in my mind. What it is, I have no idea. It's kind of like Christmas. I know I'm getting something, but I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I look forward to that period as a child more. I don't fear it. I really look forward to it, in the sense that even if it turns out to just be another day, mm-hmm. it was still fun. You know what I mean?
Sure.
We're still exciting to wait and see. And it was just another reason to go forward, you know, take that next leap of faith.
Right.
That in 2012 something wonderful will happen.
Leo,
I believe something wonderful will. I think we're going to ascend as a race, as a species, to our next dimension. You know, and that's why, and however, whatever of those 144 dimensions we'll eventually get to, you know, it's going to be a joyride from here, you know. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking, you know.
Well,
I don't know.
Leo, all I know is that I'm in for a heck of a ride, and I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah, me too, really. I tell you, God shines on me every day,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I'm happy for it because not too many people like me that deserve to be shined on too often.
cut yourself short, Leo.
Yeah, it gets pretty hot out there, you know what I mean? That's like, let me have a little shade here. So, but, you know, I really enjoy myself as much as I possibly can. And this is a lot of fun every Friday when we talk. I get to share a lot of good stuff. A lot of people listen to these shows, and I'm so grateful to them. But I want to thank you, George, again publicly here for enlightening us, you know.
Well, yes, but, you know, it's just I'm learning just as much as everybody else is. And, you know, when I get into the cycles, you know, talking about these different cycles, there are so many different cycles. That basically, they're all the same cycle, or they're all a spinoff of the same, including, you know, the cycle of the precession, the equinox, which every 26,000 years we go through a change. And
let me be the first to tell you, okay, because we're thinking of doing this on June 21st, which is the solstice, right?
Right.
Summer solstice.
Summer solstice. Yeah.
Okay. Lila is going to have her birthday solstice and birthday party, and her birthday party, my birthday party, solstice, and just a big party up here. All right.
Sounds good. My birthday is the 24th.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
June the 24th?
Yeah.
All right. So we'll be celebrating your birthday, too.
There you go. Right? That sounds good. Sounds like a party.
Powerful party, yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll have, we're celebrating. Mine's in May. Yours is in June. Hers is in August. And let's see. And the solstice is in June, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It should be an interesting time because we'll pass the seventh half-day mark for the seventh day.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll have things by then that we don't have now, like time machines, publicly.
Oh, man,
time
I don't know. But we're only talking about, what, it's November now.
Right.
December,
yeah.
January, February, March, April, May, June. That's only 7 months away.
And that's right? Not too much to ask.
Can you imagine that? Yeah, time machine.
Yes, I can. I am.
That'd be great. That'd be real fun. Hey, how did you make out on that Outworld or something? I tuned it in last night. We stopped streaming, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted you to know that.
Okay. Outworld?
Yeah, Otherworld. Was that the
Otherworld?
Yeah. I tried looking it up a couple of times, and there's more than one of those. But I couldn't find the one what was it? The Other World?
The Other World, you're right.
Yeah, and
is that by Rick Smith?
Yeah, they separate the words like that. It's weird. So there's three or four different people on Blog Talk that have the same title.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
No.
I had to go to I was listening to two or three of them, and I said, this can't be the one. No, this isn't the one. And then I got to the one I thought you were on, and that was the night. Remember, you were on Thursday night or something?
This is Crema, I believe. Forbidden Archaeology.
Forbidden Archaeology, yeah.
Right,
yeah,
and that was with Rick Smith, and his co-host, Sandra.
Man, it went on for beginning. I didn't really know if that was the show or not.
Yeah.
Because they didn't mention your name or anything or anybody.
No, it was a show that I listened to. I know Rick. And, in fact, he interviewed Peter Moon a while ago. And he's interviewed Preston Nichols.
Yeah, I know. We got him first, though, didn't we, George?
Yeah.
We interviewed those first, so yeah. But anyway, I'm glad. What did Peter talk about? The same thing, or?
Well, no, he was talking about the Transylvanian Sunrise that we talked about. But
great book, by the way. Yeah,
it was, and I have to talk with him to follow up. I believe he was back in Romania again. And I believe that he was meeting with some people dealing with, I think, David Anderson and also an author dealing with the Romanian intelligence, which is coming out with another book on talking about the find there in the Brusky Mountains below the Sphinx, which was another hall of records, as Casey.
I was really anxious to find out about that, because that was exciting. Exciting find,
But just to get information on it, though, Leo, it's hard to come by. And at least this fellow, talks about it.
That Transylvania Sunrise was fun.
Yeah.
I like reading Peter's books, but I really like the another one, that Synchronicity, I think it was.
Yes, mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
And that book had some real zingers in it, I'll tell you. Did you find it to be that?
Yes, Peter Moon, his extensive work, I think, with not only Scientology but researching L. Ron Hubbard and some of L. Ron Hubbard's work, dealing with some of the early space work, which was fueled and put together by some of those Nazis.
He's got a unique background. In researching that, and for a unique way of looking at it. So, really enjoyed his books and that whole Montauk series.
Yeah.
And that Mystery X Man there, that Mr. X.
we'll talk about that another time.
That's one weird dude. I don't know.
Well, so much of that, Leo, is, coming full circle, and it's all connected with these times and what is to come out of that. We could even take this as far as some of the work that Aleister Crowley did years ago, and, that is connected with Montauk, and believe me, it comes full circle dealing with the Germans, and like I said, that's a topic for another night. I'd like to call it a night.
That's all right. I'm glad we sparked another area of conversation tonight. That was good.
Yeah.
But if anything, I would say I'd like people to I'd like to end tonight's show with a vision of the next 3 months in your mind. What do you think? What do you think the next 3 months will look like? World events.
Well, I think it's going to it's going to keep us on our toes.
And personally, in the next 3 months, what do you expect individuals like you and I to experience as we evolve into this enlightened state of being?
Yeah, well, I'd say that we're going to have a financial crunch where we're going to lose everything that we think we have, but what we have left is what we're left with. We may lose everything, but we've gained everything. I think things are the things that we hold on to right now are just going to they're going to drag us down, and we're just going to let them go.
Right.
I really feel that come next spring, it'll be a different reality there. I really do.
I think so too. I think I'm really looking forward to the spring of 2011. I just don't know why. I think it's going to be one of the most beautiful springs ever, and I just think it's going to be amazing. Tend to take a whole lot of pictures during that period because the flowers and the gardens and so on around that Lila has done are just incredible. Well, you've seen them. They're even better now. We put even more beautiful flowers in there and stuff, and planted tulips for early spring and all kinds of things.
But, Leo, I also have to say that I think it's going to be terrible and gloomy for some people, too.
Oh.
It's because a lot of people are holding on to the fear that's going on right now, and they'll keep this with them, and it'll stay with them.
Don't get me wrong. I didn't mean to diss people that weren't. I was just focusing on what I expect to see.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You're going to see both of it.
It's just like I asked you what you expect to see in the next few months. And I just said what I would expect to see in the next 6 months, because I think by spring we're gonna have a fantastic spring. There's gonna be fireworks, man. It's gonna be unbelievable. And then heading into the summer solstice, that's gonna be one of the most powerful summers in the world.
I agree with you. Yeah,
I want to celebrate it so much with friends and family and stuff, and just have a party out here,
You know what I'd like to see in this next year that we're in it right now? I like to be able to time travel by October of next year.
Wow.
We'll see what happens.
That would be great, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like Back to the Future 3.
I'm very anxious to see it. I'm looking forward to it. And hopefully, it'll all be... there's nothing wrong in visualizing something like I visualized, is there?
No, nothing's wrong with it. I do it every day.
You know, or different flowers that are going to come up, or, what the trees will look like, apple blossoms. That gets me through the cold winter, when I got to shovel the steps, freeze my ass. I think about what the garden's going to look like next year,
There you go.
That's the beauty of it. You see beyond, the present into the future. And as long as you can see good things in the future, I think you're okay, and I think we're on the right road.
There you go.
The minute we stop seeing a good future, good, healthy future, I believe we're on the wrong direction, and we have to change it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At least I have to change my direction, and you know, if that leads away from you, then it leads away from, you know, it goes into my own direction. So nothing wrong with that. I've always gone my own direction anyway, George.
You're a legend in your own mind, Leo.
I totally am. Absolutely am.
And with that note, I'm going to say adieu, my friend.
Okay, pal. And right. Thanks for being on, George.
Okay, my pleasure.
All right. Have a good night.
All right, you also.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was George Dixon with us tonight, and I wanted to thank George. You may have missed Lila this evening. She's in Washington with her, visiting. So she'll be back with us next Wednesday. I want to thank everybody who's kept listening to us, and I hope you enjoy the show and I'm noticing there that you have them. So I want to thank you, and I wish you a good night, and have a good weekend.